And now, part two of my discussion with Bertie Jaworski. Welcome to Evolving Humans, the podcast for awakening souls. I'm your host, Julia Marie. Settle in and get ready for another spirited conversation. Now, you said in the materials that I read that 50 years brings perspective, deep, strange knowledge, and the ability to see overarching patterns that some may miss. Can you talk about some of these larger patterns that you've become aware of?
What's so interesting to me is how the information that we have as the general public has not changed in all these 50 years I've been interested in this. I was watching an old film, and I believe it's called The Flying Saucer. Don't completely quote me on that, but I think that might be right. And this came out just 2 years after the crash at Roswell. Mm-hmm. After whatever crashed at Roswell happened, 2 years later, this film came out. It's in black and white. And at the beginning, you have these two men talking. They're dressed in their snazzy suits of the time, hats, fedoras, you know, and they're talking about how there is all of this evidence that UFOs are real. And they didn't use the term UFOs. They said flying saucers, because the language was different then. It was flying saucers, how flying saucers were real, but the government was covering it up. They don't want the people to know because it would cause unrest in our society. And I was blown away, because this is the same discussion we are having today.
Yeah.
All of these many, many years later, it's the same discussion. All of the books that I read in the 70s and the 80s.
Yep.
It's the same discussion today. We have not moved past, are they even up there or not? We haven't even moved past that. It's the circular,
yep,
circular knowledge. And it's frustrating, but it's also weirdly beautiful that we keep wrestling with this. And sometimes the circle is bigger, sometimes it's smaller. Now we have all this advanced technology. Everyone's got a cell phone. That's one of the things people bring up. Well, if everyone has a cell phone, why don't we have all these pictures of UFOs? And I like to ask people, when was the last time you looked up in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking down at your phone, right?
Exactly. You have a phone, but your eyes are looking at the phone, not up. Yeah, that's very
right.
True.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Sadly. Yeah.
Very sadly true. Mm-hmm. Kids today don't, not all kids, you know, but most kids, I would say, don't even know the names of the constellations. They can look up at the night sky and they probably can't point out Orion,
mm-hmm,
or Cassiopeia, or all the things that as kids we would lay on the grass in the middle of summer and count fireflies.
Yep.
And point out the different stars and the constellations. We're missing that level of human experience, that connection with the world around us, the more focused on technology that we become. And in a way, I wonder, are we turning into the aliens ourselves? By
maybe
so much,
yeah, in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
In some ways I would agree, but it's almost like our view is, like you said, it's narrowing.
Right.
And we're losing the connection to the greater heavens or world of which we're an intrinsic part.
Exactly.
You made a comment about a connection between consciousness and UFOs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, there is a considerable amount of new research, and this is being done by a number of well-known scientists, including, for example, Dr. Gary Nolan, who is a very highly celebrated scientist at Stanford University. Dr. Puthoff, who worked with the government in developing the remote viewing program, if you know what remote,
mm-hmm,
viewing is, which is using your mind to explore anytime, any place, anywhere. And consciousness itself, our ability to expand our minds or to think outside of our bodies, has been shown to influence, perhaps, or be influenced by whatever this phenomenon is, the UFO, UAP phenomenon. People are going out in fields. And in fact, in my UFO group, we have a group of people that are really focused on this and having super interesting results. They will go out at night, they will sit in the circle, and they will meditate together, and they will see things. There will be orbs in the sky. They will feel a connection to something outside of themselves. So this kind of deep meditation and being hyper-focused on your own awareness can oftentimes lead you to have a connection with whatever this non-human intelligence is. Some scientists are theorizing perhaps that they aren't necessarily extraterrestrial, meaning coming from another planet, but maybe they are interdimensional. They come from another space that we don't have the technology to see or to feel. And maybe they can travel in and out of dimensions. And who knows? Maybe it's all of the above, you know? I don't know. You can use your mind to engage in some kind of communication. It's not like having a conversation with a fellow human being, but it can feel like a connection.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, especially now where I live, because I'm kind of out in the country, sometimes I'll be drawn to go outside, and on the back deck, there's no lights. There's no lights out there.
Yeah.
And usually if I look up at the sky, I'm drawn to a particular twinkling light, and I'll say, if it's you, change colors, and it'll start flashing different colors at me. And then I'll say, can you do me a dance? And it'll start like darting around and...
That's how it works. It's like we have this connection that extends, I believe, throughout the entire universe.
Yes.
We are all one. You know, that's the mystics have said this our whole entire existence.
Yep.
And that this moment now is the only moment. And when you start thinking that way, you start seeing all that kind of cool stuff. Yeah.
I just have always taken it for granted. I have friends that hang out with me.
That's right. They're your friends. And that's okay. That brings up a kind of an interesting point in all of this, is that when you look at how some of the language is being formed in Congress by some parties, say, they're talking about how UFOs or UAPs in their language could be a national security threat, that they're framing the narrative in that way because they're looking for perhaps more black budget dollars to counteract this UFO threat. But if you look at all of human history and all of these interactions, 99.99999% of these have been peaceful interactions. People see something interesting. Maybe they're given a message in some cases, or they have some kind of consciousness opening experience. In fact, many people who have had UFO encounters report later that it opens their mind in different kinds of ways, and they start experiencing a deeper connection to their fellow man or to the animal and plant world around them. They are more likely to not rely as much on technology. They want to feel more grounded, which is so interesting to me, that seeing something so technologically advanced could make you hunger for your own planet. It's just interesting.
I think it's a fascinating observation. I mean, I've never felt concerned with any of the various encounters that I've had.
Right.
Like they're friends. It's almost like they're my friends coming to check up on me to make sure I'm okay. I don't know how else to explain it.
And even those two encounters that I described earlier, in this conversation, they were pretty drastic encounters mm-hmm. with tangible craft of some sort.
Yeah.
And in neither case was I afraid. I was just, wow, awestruck or curious. Yeah. I wanted to throw a pine cone at that pyramid because I wanted to see if it would make a sound. Yeah, I don't believe it's a phenomenon that we need to be frightened of.
No, I don't either, but we can all have our perspectives. So that's what
right.
I will say.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and I might be wrong about that. There are plenty of people that do think it is a national security threat. And I know in the case of, for example, the Navy pilots who famously had encounters with craft mm-hmm. that were described in the New York Times in December 2017, the Tic Tac UFOs and the Gimbal and the Go Fast UFO. Those videos have made the internet rounds. Everyone's seen them.
Sure.
And they felt that these were a flight safety threat because these craft were getting in the way of their missions. And I understand flight safety. Sure. That's a valid concern. But the Tic Tacs never shot at anyone.
No, and they definitely could have if that was their intent.
Absolutely.
I used to live in Taos, and I always experienced a lot of activity there. It came mostly in the form of like interesting cloud ships that would form if I sent out a message to Taos Mountain. I would get big cloud ships would form, even though there were no clouds in the sky. So I also heard about the Taos Hum and the tunnels underneath the mesa there. And when I lived in Taos, there was a Native American people's pipe carrier who she used to go into meditation, and she'd go in the tunnels underneath the mesa there and work with. So I guess she would astral travel, I guess you'd call it. And she'd work with the beings in the tunnels. And I would ask her, well, aren't you afraid? Like people say they're really scary. And she goes, no, I just go down there and I open my heart and I send them love. And I always get one of two responses. They either allow themselves to be enveloped by the love or they run away. She goes, I've never been attacked. And I thought, well, you know, that's a really interesting way of maybe dealing with that kind of phenomenon. So I was just curious what you might know or what kind of understanding you have around that kind of occurrence.
Yeah, New Mexico has so many pockets of places that have an intense spiritual of some sort connection.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these are located on Native American lands, in the pueblos, on the reservations, and sacred mountains. And people have reported these kinds of incidences where they hear things, they see things. There are there's one particular location in northeastern New Mexico that I went out a number of times with a group of Native Americans. They would literally call down the orbs.
Mm-hmm.
They would stand on this mesa and they said, this is a sacred mesa and you need to be quiet. They would light some sage and other kinds of herbs and cleanse the space, and they would chant, and orbs would be oscillating out there in the valley, and mm-hmm. it would just be intensely beautiful. I think that New Mexico's magical this way.
It is.
And Taos is one of those special locations. It's so beautiful. That's why so many artists live in Taos. And in Santa Fe, which is, you know, similar, but Taos is super special.
Yeah, it is.
That way, people have heard the hum. Nobody knows exactly what that noise is. People have had incredible encounters in the areas around Taos and Santa Fe. Georgia O'Keeffe, who painted all those gorgeous lilies mm-hmm. and other landscapes and flowers, and she lived at a ghost ranch, which is outside of that area, but that's another very special place where people have these magical encounters with shamans that will walk literally right out of the mesa and give them a message and then walk right back into the mesa. I actually had a super incredible experience, and this was about 20 years ago, and this was on the Navajo reservation. I was with my young kids and the car had broken down, and the nice Native American man with the pickup truck gave us a ride back to the reservation where we could wait until a tow truck, which would eventually take many, many hours to come and try to fix my car. And they were having a big community dinner, and people had brought in all kinds of super delicious home-cooked meal, you know, food of all kinds, mm-hmm. casseroles and traditional foods, and even things like spaghetti and everything you could imagine was all piled there. And we were enjoying this amazing bounty. And I happened to have in the backpack I had with me, two peaches and a cantaloupe. And so I put those out on the table to share. And after dinner, I was sitting there, and this was on top of a mesa, and it was overlooking this huge, long expanse of desert. And I saw this little dot come from far away, closer and closer and closer. And it was a man who was walking up to where we were. And it took about 45 minutes for him to walk all that distance. And he walked directly. He came into the community and he literally walked straight for me. And he handed me a piece of paper, and on it was handwritten a poem about the woman who brought the peaches and the melon to his people.
Wow.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, I have the goosebumps again right now, too. I couldn't believe it. And there was no way he could have known this. This was, nobody had cell phones there. This was, people did have cell phones in that day, but those were early cell phones, and there wouldn't have been service way out there. And he was
connected to the field.
He was connected to the field and to this amazing community event, yep. where everyone was sharing, and I was the outsider, but I brought something, and mm-hmm. it must have felt important to him. And it's something that I think about every now and then. I think, well, what are the peaches and the melon that I need to bring today? That's kind of the lesson I took out of that. What do I need to offer today?
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And did you keep the paper? I'm just curious.
I did. I kept the paper. I did. Yeah. It's in a box of mementos that I have.
We've gone on a really long journey, but there's one more thing I have to ask you about. It's sort of still on topic. I've been watching with deep interest that series on Skinwalker Ranch in Utah.
Oh, sure.
And I just wonder if you have some thoughts that you might want to share on that area and what's going on there.
That is such an interesting, interesting case. Those who are listening who don't know what Skinwalker Ranch is, it is a property in Utah, and ownership has changed hands mm-hmm. several times. And for a while, it was part of a special access program, an SAP as they call them, that was studying paranormal phenomenon. And this particular ranch has had an incredible amount of strange, strange things that have happened. People who have lived on the ranch have talked about seeing UFOs, all kinds of different UFOs, UFOs shaped the size and shape of a bus, a city bus. Some are flying saucers, some are more tic-tac shaped. They have seen orbs. They have seen wild animals that change shape, shapeshifters, in other words, mm-hmm. that's where the Skinwalker name comes from. It's a Native American traditional story that there are spirits who can change their shape. They can look like a human one minute and some kind of an animalistic creature the next. They can turn into animals or werewolf type things. So skinwalkers have been seen there. There have been portals that have opened up and things have come out mm-hmm. or disappeared into these portals. There have been strange sounds and electromagnetic readings. I've been kind of fascinated by Skinwalker Ranch. And I have thought so many times about taking a drive up there and at least going to the outskirts and seeing if I could see anything, but I haven't done that.
I'll tell you, there's something about that place that does give me the heebie.
It gives me the heebies too. It
gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It does, me too. And one thing that people that have been there have described something that's called the hitchhiker effect, where they have an experience in one place, say on the Skinwalker Ranch, then they go back home to their regular life and the phenomenon continues. It travels with them. And that's why I have not been. I don't want to take any of that home.
I'll just watch the program when it streams.
But I do believe that place, that there is something there. So many people, and it's not just the people that have owned the ranch.
Yeah.
There's a big Native American tradition there
that is around that whole thing. Yep.
Yeah.
It's ancient. Whatever it is, it's old.
It's ancient. That's right.
It's old.
That's right. And there are places like that where the veil is thin. That's that old Irish saying. Yeah.
I just wanted to get your take on that whole situation before we close out. Now, I could keep talking with you about this for hours, but you know, we're coming to the end of our time together, and I have five final questions that I like to ask my guests.
Okay.
Three words to describe yourself.
Three words to describe me. Okay. Three words that can describe me would be, number one is happy, because I am always happy. Number two is thoughtful, because I'm always thinking and thinking and thinking about things. I'm a processor. Mm-hmm. And number three would be silly. I like to laugh.
Okay. So three words to describe your spiritual journey.
Oh my gosh. My spiritual journey has been unexpected, different than perhaps I would have liked, so different, and awesome.
What has been your greatest spiritual lesson?
Okay, my greatest spiritual lesson, mm-hmm. and I am still learning this, but I know I have to master it, is how to say no. Oh my gosh, and I think that comes from growing up a woman, you know, in a very patriarchal society, you know, which has changed so much since I was a kid. But
yeah,
I have really had to fight to learn how to say no. And I'm getting so much better at it. It's a
simple
lesson.
Yes.
And so hard.
What is your concept of God or creator or source, whatever you want to call it?
I believe that we are all part of this great divine energy, and it lives inside of us. I think that's where the whole concept of the Holy Spirit comes from, something that resides inside you that you can breathe in and breathe out. I believe we are all creating and create co-creators in this wonderful process we call life. That's my concept of God. It's all of us together.
Do you have a final message to share with the listeners?
Put down your phones, spend some time outside, and please look up at the sky and wonder. Ask the universe, ask your higher self, whatever you want to call it, to show you that we are not alone.
Well, let's just put a big period right there. I want to thank you for the stories you've told today. This has been great fun for me. Can you tell the people how to connect with you if they would choose to do that? Where can they find what you do?
You can find my website about my UFO group at abq, That stands for Albuquerque. So ABQUFOs.com. And you can look up ABQUFOs on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, we've got a cool Facebook page. And we are also ABQUFOs on YouTube. And you can watch some of the fun programming we've had for our group members.
Thank you so much again. And I just have a feeling we're going to be talking again. I'll think of something that I can interview you about.
Well, that's the buzz.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Julia. This was really delightful. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you as well. Well, that's our time for today. To all you evolving humans, thank you for your continued support of this podcast. If you found value in this episode, please hit subscribe on your favorite podcast player. To learn more about my classes, events, and sessions, please go to www.juliamarie.us. The link for my new book, Signals from My Soul, A Spiritual Memoir of Awakening, is also in the show notes. And now, here's a quote for you to ponder as you go about your day. I happen to be privileged enough to be in on the fact that we have been visited on this planet, and the UFO phenomenon is real. Edgar Mitchell.